All right, joining us on the podcast today, live and in person, Chris Moore with IX Systems, VP of Engineering.
Oh, glad to be here. This was fun. It was a nice little drive. It was pretty this morning, driving up from Tennessee up here to Ohio.
I can't tell you how excited we are to, as much as I like the other people that work here, and I see Kevin and now Lucy and Alex and Adam on a day-to-day basis, it's really nice to see another face that's not those four guys or my family, you know?
Well, absolutely. And if you're ever down our way, we'll return the favor.
Well, let's see. We go lately to Nashville a lot. Okay. We've been having lots of trade shows. I don't know what Nashville...
hours away from us.
Well, do you know anything about that? What Nashville has done to get it's five or six lately.
Yeah, it's just a really growing, burgeoning city right now. A lot of people relocating there from the West Coast, so it's grown a lot in the last 10 years. And
great, I'm sure that's what Nashville wanted to
mixed
see.
Blessing, right?
Yeah, things were going okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And now the country music's like alt pop rock or something.
I'm not a huge country fan, so that part doesn't
really
bother me at all.
Wow. No, so what's going on in Knoxville?
Knoxville's a little smaller city. It's about 1 million plus in kind of the regional area there. Not a lot of tech industry there, although that's where now our IX second office is located, which is great.
Yep. Is that in your basement or is it?
No, we have an office in Maryville, which is a little suburb of Knoxville, about 20 minutes south, 35 people there on average. Obviously,
fewer
the coronavirus thing right now, not so many there in person working from home. But yeah, definitely an important part of our office. A lot of our dev teams there.
Okay, so that is interesting. You keep a lot of dev there. Mm-hmm. What's the rest of the dev infrastructure look like?
So a lot of the infrastructure there is a couple labs, our dev environment, our build system, CI, CD, some hosting there. We kind of ping-pong host between there, a colo, and then our San Jose facilities as well.
Cool.
And then we have support team as well, a good chunk of our support teams in the Knoxville area.
And so before you came, you said, hey, can I bring anything?
Yep.
And I said, let's bring some local IPAs. So tell me what we've got here. This is, I don't know what to make of this. Yeehaw.
I asked a few guys from the office, like, what do you guys recommend for a good local IPA? And, you know, nothing says Tennessee more than yeehaw.
Fine Southern Beer, Yeehaw IPA, 6.7%. Brewed and canned by Yeehaw Brewing, Johnson City.
Yeah, I mean, Johnson City's a couple hours up the road, but it's still Tennessee, so that counts.
That's spectacular. And this other one, this one's got more of a 70s hippie sort of fluffy letter bell-bottom feel to it.
A little more interesting visually, for sure. That's local, in town.
This is Black Horse Brewery. Mm-hmm. IPA, this is a 7.8. This will be perfect for unwinding after this day.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But
wait, this one even has directions. Open can, place near nose, and gently inhale to get the aroma of the Sriracha, Ace Citra, Simcoe, Cascade hops working together in perfect harmony. Drink, enjoy, recycle can. Wow. Well, we'll...
Do people really read those and follow the directions?
I don't know. Thankfully, I was doing it
right
the whole time.
Right, good.
I was drinking and then recycling the can.
Yep.
Yeah, speaking of recycling, our garbage just got picked up last week, or yesterday, the day before, and it's always embarrassing. I don't know how it works in your neighborhood, but we've got the big tote for the garbage, then the other one for the recycling. Every time it's full, the lid's a little cracked open, and all you see are wine and beer bottles on top of it. I mean, and then they dump it. If you're ever there to hear ours specifically get dumped out, it's the smashing of glass together.
Yep.
It's not a great sign
to
send to the
rest neighborhood. Our neighborhood doesn't have the recycling bin, so it's all in the one bin, and it's a mess.
That's Tennessee for you.
Yep.
All right, so as much as these guys want to hear about drinking and recycling
absolutely
habits,
important.
You've got other things going on at IX.
We do.
And I'm not sure where to start, because I kind of want to start with scale, because you aggravated so many people this week.
Aggravated or excited, depending on their point of view.
Okay.
But it was a big week.
Okay. And then we also have the TrueNAS Core, FreeNAS, TrueNAS coming together.
Yep.
And that's pretty cool too. Mm-hmm. And that's a little older announcement. So why don't we start with that?
Sure.
What's going on?
Okay, so a lot of our listeners and fans who've been using FreeNAS for years know about how we have FreeNAS. That's popular. Lots of folks run that at home. But we've always had TrueNAS, and that's the business side. That's our enterprise product. That's what you buy. You know, go buy an M50, M40, X series, whatever. And you get TrueNAS Enterprise with some enterprise features. So we've had this dichotomy between the two forever, basically, where you have the FreeNAS product.
Now, FreeNAS is a decade old or more?
Getting close to, I think, 10 years at this point. Yeah, I don't remember the specific year now, but it's been around a while for sure. But anyway, that presented a challenge for us, honestly, because we're basically releasing two products that are virtually the same. Obviously, the Enterprise has some more things in it and some additional testing and such, but it means two sets of QA, two sets of documentation, two sets of code in some cases, mm-hmm. you know, where we're having to merge them together to build TrueNAS. So there was a lot of duplicated effort going on. It just meant everything you did twice.
Right.
Which, you know, small team, that takes a toll after a while. That's a lot to do. And, you know, it means one sometimes suffers, you know, FreeNAS might suffer on the QA side because we're spending more time in the enterprise and we don't want it to be that way. Mm-hmm. So starting with 12, we made the decision, you know what, the FreeNAS name also sometimes sends the wrong message to a lot of folks who think, oh, because it's free, it's cheap, or it's
less
not
capable,
right. or it's not real enterprise grade, which is just not the case at all. FreeNAS is through and through enterprise. Mm-hmm. So with 12, we took the opportunity to rebrand it. So everything is becoming TrueNAS. FreeNAS becomes TrueNAS Core, which is everything FreeNAS is. There's no, we're not taking a step back in the sense that it's not open source or you're losing features or anything like that. It's a branding thing. Yeah. But it coming with that is that we're releasing one image now. So when you go download TrueNAS and install it, you're getting Core by default, but that same image, same code, same everything is also Enterprise. So once you apply it on the iX hardware, on the X series or M series, put the license key on it, it just flips a couple logos around, the Enterprise features get unlocked, and great, you're now on Enterprise.
All right, I wasn't going to bring it up, but you said the L word, logos. I know you've got some new stuff. We put it in our promo for the live cast that we're actually going to do after this. So in terms of sequence, we're doing the podcast. What is it? Thursday afternoon now. We're going to do the live broadcast at 4. The podcast will drop tomorrow, so there's a little bit of a sequencing thing, but it's all still very exciting. The logos, the shark, he's gone.
So the shark's been around a long time, and we believe we'll probably have him make appearances elsewhere in the UI. We're talking about Easter eggs using the shark. We love our shark logo. There's nothing wrong with that.
Does the shark have a name?
Was it ever? No, I don't think we ever christened it with a name. You know, Sharky, maybe. You know,
it was
knows,
super
right?
creative. It's not quite
super creative,
not
right?
Not quite Bodie McBoatface, right? But okay.
But no, we're talking about maybe having to make some appearances as Easter eggs, either in the UI, maybe in the documentation, you know, TBD. But you know, we'll have some fun with it. There's no reason not to.
A little ASCII shark in the CLI.
Yeah, why not? Why not? Well, we technically have some of that in the bootloader now. There's a little shark fin.
Ah,
so,
perfect.
Yeah, there you go.
So before this this pod, we were working together to take our system, which was on 11.3. Mm-hmm. So that's what we used for the Asigra work. And we were starting to think about what we do next on FreeNAS, and someone had the idea, well, why don't we just go to the TrueNAS Core product?
Sure.
And I don't know who suggested it, but maybe I did. It was a great idea is all I know.
Somebody had a good idea sometime.
So you know, we went through the upgrade process. We actually recorded that, and maybe we'll do something with that video too. It took 10 minutes. So what'd you do?
I don't even think we were paying attention the whole time. I might have finished earlier.
Yeah, so that process really is as simple as direct it to the download.
Yeah.
Snag the download, apply, reboot, cycle once or twice,
yeah,
and then
you're done.
Good to go.
Yeah. So basically, the biggest thing is when you're first going to the update page, we have a concept of trains in FreeNAS and TrueNAS. So trains are a particular major release. So 11.3, for example, is its own train, right? And then when we go and come out with 12.0, you're going to go and switch to the 12.0 train.
Okay.
That way you can, you know, pick when you're ready to make a major upgrade. So you pick that, you hit apply, you know, go grab a drink, grab a cup of coffee, come back, and you're done. And that's that. So
go grab a Black Horse Brewery IPA. Sponsored
they didn't sponsor us. That would have been nice if I thought that far ahead.
Okay. So we're at 11.3 now. So is there an 11.4 release? Are there any other point releases?
So 11.3 will be the last of the 11 series. That's based on the FreeBSD 11 train as well.
Right.
And so when you go to 12, you're getting new kernel, FreeBSD 12. That's kind of where the numbers come from there. So 12.0 will be the successor to 11.3. Okay.
So what are you excited about in 12? What's got the most? Have you even shared everything yet?
We've published most of the things. Okay. There's a lot of people running the nightlies. 12's pretty feature complete
right now.
So they're
seeing a bunch of stuff.
Yeah,
pop in
there. It's feature complete in the sense that we're just doing QA now. So all the features are in. The biggest work we spent on 12, and you know, why we took a little extra time, was bringing ZFS up to speed. So ZFS on Linux has been moving ahead for the last couple of years. A lot of new features have been landing there. And we took the time with 12 to start bringing those back and bring FreeBSD to the table as well. So we could run the same version of ZFS as ZFS on Linux, which means we get things like native data set encryption. That's a big one. I've wanted that for years, and that's finally landing in 12. Okay. So the ability to go and just add data sets ad hoc at will, put different encryption keys on them, and when you replicate, they stay encrypted even on the remote side, so you don't necessarily have to trust the remote side. You don't have to ship the key to the remote side.
Well, that's a big deal. That's a big deal for using a service provider or some other outside target, because we want to get a copy offsite,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that offsite may not be in my control.
You may not be in your control.
Probably isn't in many cases.
Yeah, maybe you can't verify their security measures. You just don't want to take the chance. So you just send it over encrypted and leave it that way, and you know, you're good. You can even restore it fully encrypted without bringing the keys over, which is great as well.
Okay.
So, and that's a pristine one-to-one copy of everything that's on your system. So, because it's ZFS level replication.
All right. What else is new?
So we have that on the enterprise side. We're adding KMIP support. So KMIP is for key management. So if you're in a little bit bigger shop, usually you might be using a KMIP server, which is managing your credentials and doing auditing of who's unlocking what and when and where and all that. KMIP allows us to log in and authenticate against a KMIP server, and it'll handle all the key exchanges. That'll be used for things like SED drives or the native encryption I just mentioned as well.
Before we get too far down the road, because you mentioned enterprise, and I was talking core before as we look at FreeNAS going to TrueNAS core. Just real quick, for those maybe that haven't followed closely yet, what's the difference and how do you delineate those?
So enterprise is what you get when you buy the IX products or appliances. So if you get an X series, you get an M series, you'll get a license key to go with that, which makes it enterprise. That's going to unlock certain features like HA. That's really one of the biggest things about the system. So you have the dual controllers, enclosure management, visual enclosure management. That's a big deal, and that's been newly added to 12 as well for the enterprise side. Proactive support. So depending on your support level agreement, we can have alerts get sent back to our support team at IX, you know, give you the heads up when we see a drive starting to flake out and get you a new drive. You know, those kind of features. Fiber channel is another one. So, you know, there's a handful. vCenter plugin is another thing you can get on the enterprise side. So there's some specific things that you'll get on the enterprise side.
Speaking of fiber, is that big for these deployments, or what do you see in there?
It depends on the customer. Some customers already have it deployed, and so
it's
just easy. They want to go and keep rolling with what they have, so it makes sense. If you invested in the infrastructure.
Yeah, if you're already there.
Yeah.
It's important for you guys to be able to support that, just to give that as another option.
Absolutely. But just in general on 12 on the core side, there's some other neat features too. Fusion pools is probably one of the other big things.
So we were talking about that earlier. Fusion pools looks pretty neat, and everyone's looking for ways to figure out where to apply flash, how much flash to apply, and I'm sure you'll have plenty of customers that'll do an all flash box for some tier 1-0
some folks,
workloads,
absolutely.
Right? But if I've got, you know, one of the neatest things I think about what you guys can do or what TrueNAS can do is really make a multi-purpose box that can handle a bunch of different stuff. So we were already looking at the Asigra backup use case, but while we can run that as a backup, it doesn't have to be exclusively a backup appliance. So tell us a little bit about pools and what you're doing, or Fusion, sorry.
Fusion pools.
This is very, very important, Brandon.
In many ways, TrueNAS Core can be described a little bit as a Swiss Army knife. It can do a lot of things and a lot of different things really well. This is about giving you some new options for how to deploy flash.
Right.
So we have a lot of folks who still want spinning disks. They like the economy of spinning disks. You need the storage, great, but I need some acceleration in some ways. A good example is we've seen customers in the field where they'll have a million files in a directory, and it can be a little painful to list that many files at once. You know, just go run ls at the command prompt if you don't believe me when you have that many files there. So what Fusion Pools brings to the table is you can attach SSDs or NVMe or different fast devices to a spinning disk pool in a special allocation class or Fusion Pool class. And what it does is metadata blocks get stored specifically on that VDEV. So that means things like, you know, listing operations, file lookup, other metadata operations all get redirected to the flash, which means it's faster to work with that, but then you still get the economy of having your spinning disks actually store the data blocks. And they can additionally store dedupe tables there, small block IO as well. So it just brings some other options to the table for people who need that hybrid.
The metadata for sure is important, because I don't know how many times, who was it that was giving me some stats? Someone down in Texas one time was saying that their numbers showed that 90-something percent of the lookups for files were just that.
Yeah.
And not actually opening the file, but just the call of that name, modified date, the other attributes.
There's a lot of clients out there that are just really doing a lot of metadata operations, and then occasionally we might go get the data blocks.
Right. Yeah, so that one will be really interesting, and we are going to demo that in the live cast, mm-hmm. or if you're listening to this after the live cast,
yes.
there is a YouTube where we do take a look at Fusion Pools and go do that and look into it. Kevin's already put a pair of SSDs into mm-hmm. our IX box, so we're ready to roll there.
Great.
And even that operation was quick, right?
Just as fast as I could click anyway. It was just a few clicks to get it created.
All right, so what else is new in 12?
So 12, we added, again, for the core side, we added VPN support in the form of OpenVPN. We've mm-hmm. had this, has been requested for several years now. We have a lot of folks where they maybe don't have the infrastructure on their network side to set up a VPN, but they want access to their files offsite.
Well, so. And that's like in this day and age is kind of a brand new world, right?
Right.
Of everyone being remote. Yeah. You may not want to provide access to all the people in New York, but in some limited roles,
in some
right?
cases, you want to provide some access. So what we did in 12 is we added OpenVPN support, but mm-hmm. we added both sides of it. So TrueNAS Core or Enterprise can act as the OpenVPN server or as a client. So we give you a couple different options for connecting your storage to an OpenVPN network, and that's debuting in 12. 12 also added API key functionality. So if you're a heavy user, everything you do in the FreeNAS, or excuse me, the TrueNAS Core UI,
that's going to take you forever.
It's going to take a while,
to
right?
Unprogram your brain.
Everything you can do in the UI is API driven. So we're seeing more and more people use the API and write scripts to deploy things, set up things. And so we have API keys that can be handed out for that now as well.
That's certainly aligned with what's going on in the DevOps world, mm-hmm. in the more efficient operations world where they're using, you know, whatever. There's hundreds of tools out there mm-hmm. to coordinate those activities. So that's a natural sort of flow with what's happening.
We have a full REST API, and it's also available over WebSockets. I personally prefer the WebSocket connection because it's asynchronous and you can send alerts. It's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But having that ability is crucial for a lot of users and customers.
Okay.
We've also added support for something upcoming, True Command Cloud. For those who haven't tried True Command yet, that's our single pane of glass.
So this lets you move it off site?
Yeah, so True Command will be hosted by IX Systems. We're going to be debuting that here in the near future. So it'll be a subscription service, and True Command will run on our infrastructure, but then you can securely connect your storage to it and manage it all via that True Command Cloud interface.
Now, what's the big benefit there? That seems maybe something that might be additive for service providers that have a big distributed.
Sure. True Command brings, so the FreeNAS UI is mostly for one admin to log in and do work. And of course, if you have a bunch of systems, that can get a little difficult to manage that many. So True Command is a true single pane of glass. It also supports the concept of multiple administrators, or RBAC, if you will. Mm-hmm. So you can go in and set up credentials for different admins to access different boxes, monitor, or make changes to specific systems. So it's light administrative tasks, but also a lot more introspection, looking at the system, sampling.
Visibility into
what's going on, read and write latencies, and all that good stuff is captured offsite. So you can analyze your system outside of it.
So if I run it here and on our against our system, can I also connect off-site systems, or is that really...
So True Command can be deployed offline as well. So we designed it that way intentionally because we have some people who don't want anything exposed to the internet. Mm-hmm. That's great. Understand that.
Sure.
So once True Command is deployed, it's really agnostic. As long as it has a route to reach the storage, it'll happily run over OpenVPN, WireGuard, you name it. As long as it can reach it, it's good.
Okay.
So
you're the eventual cloud capacity or the cloud offering just simplifies some of that.
It does. It simplifies the hosting for that, allows us to host it. You don't have to worry about the upgrades to it. We manage all that and manage it in our cloud infrastructure.
Is the upgrade path for that different than the cadence that you're on with TrueNAS at
this True point? Command has its own upgrade cycle, so it tends to come out a little bit more frequent than TrueNAS.
Okay.
So about every 2 to 3 months, we're pushing something new out.
What kind of stuff are you rolling into that? Where's the development
1.3
focus?
1.3 really is focusing on kind of a dashboard redesign and more management capabilities. So deeper introspection into your data sets, monitoring and managing replication jobs, looking at how many clients you have connected on different protocols. So monitoring, getting graphs of how many SMB sessions are open. Mm-hmm. Those kind of metrics are going to be more the focus of 1.3. We're setting the stage for some other stuff that's going to come in 1.4, but for this one, it's definitely much more introspection and visibility into managing things like alerts, monitoring the system health and performance.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we've got True Command, we talked Fusion Pools, we talked some security stuff. Any other big highlights in 12 you want to...
Oh. I think those are some of the biggest ones. Obviously, there's the handful of UI improvements, sure. The little bug fixes. You know, I think I mentioned for 12, we have graphical enclosure management on the enterprise side. So that's the pretty visual representation of,
so you can see which drive is giving you
bad
attitude.
You can see which drive you need to go yank, and that way you don't tell the remote hands to pull the wrong one out, like that kind of stuff.
Right. So what's the feedback you're getting on the nightlies are available? Mm-hmm. I assume you've got, knowing the community, you've got a lot of people messing around with it.
We do.
What sort of feedback are you getting?
The feedback's been pretty good so far. I mean, we're still nightlies. For those who don't know, that's our pre-beta, pre-alpha in some case instances. Beta is still a few weeks out from the time of this recording.
Yeah, so let's back out the calendar right now. So the official launch, do we have a date announced for that?
Yeah, we just released the schedule earlier this week. October 15th is the date for the official release. Leading up to that, we're getting ready to do beta 1 of 12.0. That's
before the beta, though. You already put the date out there.
Yeah.
You don't worry about being that far away?
Now
it's there.
It's a target, and we're going to do our best to hit it. Maybe we're a little early, maybe we're a little late. Okay. You know, the way 2020's gone, who knows what's next, right?
They're about.
Yeah. Okay. But that's definitely the target date, and we're going to do our best to hit
that. All right, so then the beta is targeted for when?
June 30th. So right at the end of this month, beta 1 is expected to drop.
And how firm is that beta? So if you're doing nightlies now and have been for a little while, you would expect it to be pretty stable, but there may be bumps and bruises. Yeah. What's the difference in your mind to beta June 30?
So the difference is that we've been able to go through our full suite of QA tests, the things we would normally do for TrueNAS Enterprise, for example. So we're going through and validating all the new functionality, validating, you know, the encryption stuff's working right, KMIP's working right, and writing a whole suite of new tests for any of the new functionality that got added.
And you're also taking bugs in from the community.
We are during the nightlies. And the community, by the way, you guys are great. When you find issues and send those in, that really helps us. I mean,
send the bugs in. They love the bugs.
No, I mean, seriously, people run stuff on weird hardware, things we don't even have access to sometimes in our lab.
I can't possibly imagine some home labber running something on weird hardware.
I know, right? It's such a crazy idea.
And then when you're like, why are you doing that? The answer is typically something like reasons. Like,
yeah, or that's what I had lying around, you know, which...
There's a lot of that.
There is a lot of that. Well, but no, it's good.
That's why we love that community so much and why we try to give away so much of our gear to... our subreddit, Home Lab Sales, Home Lab, Data Hoarder. Gosh, there's so many of them. And in fact, we'll be giving away a FreeNAS, depending on when it is, it'll be a FreeNAS or TrueNAS system from IX soon. So look forward to that. We're going to put together a system and give that away.
That'll be great.
It will be great. We love giving stuff away because it's funny. We'll do a little NAS giveaway and get 1,500 replies.
Oh, wow.
1,500 replies for just a little four-bay guy.
Yeah. I mean,
that's the hunger out there. And I think now, too, during these lockdown and sort of unstable times, that now is the best time to look at yourself and say, what do I want to do?
Sure.
To have been doing that, to be introspective and say, if I'm in tech, now's the time where I can get out ahead of my competitors or people that are fighting for the jobs, you know, that as they come back, hopefully, that if I've got these skills and... There's so many courses out there. I'm sure you guys do webinars and technical all the time, right? So there's that content that's always out there to consume. There's you can get yourself a little box, jam some drives in there and be messing around and kill it a couple times.
Absolutely.
So that you know what it looks like, what it feels like, and how to deal with that stuff when it comes back. And some of those things, like, it's not going to fit on a resume, but when you get an opportunity to sit down and talk with someone or engage with someone on Twitter or to be able to have those conversations of, hey, I did this and this. And
yeah,
I don't know. I think it's a great time to be.
I've deployed an enterprise solution at my home lab, and I've learned how Active Directory works and how to manage ZFS and how to set up fusion pools and how to manage SMB. Like, that's really cool.
So that is cool. And one of the things that we like to do, and maybe we haven't done, it just takes a lot of time, as much of it is we love to engage with that community when they go do that and say, hey, that solution you did was crazy. Write it up for us and we'll publish it on Storage Review.
Oh, okay.
And so now you're the home lab guy that's messing around with something. You found a cool solution. You talk about how you're streaming Plex to your Apple TV. Well, probably not Apple TVs. Google Chromecast or something.
I think Plex works on Apple TV.
Yeah, but Apple TV is not really a Plex kind of solution. Yeah. Here's how I did this. On a budget of $1,000 or whatever, like whatever the hook is, we'll publish that all day long and help spread that message and help people engage.
Those are really popular how-tos and articles. We see them on some people on the forum sometimes just post these wild walkthroughs of here's how I set up this huge Plex server.
Send that guy to me because I want to tell that story, because the forums are great and the post on Reddit's great, but they're somewhat ephemeral over time, right? Mm-hmm. One of the great things about the storage review site is we index so well, so that when there's people out there looking for solutions, we've got some stuff on picking hypervisors and setting up pfSense and like all these other things that are really popular in that field. So we love engaging with the community.
That's
you
great.
You just learn so much.
You do. There's just so much knowledge out there, and with the internet, and just it's so easy. It's all at your fingertips now. You just got to look.
Well, when we redesigned the site, we made the conscious decision to throw away our forums. Like every tech site since the 90s has been content and forums, or maybe just forums, like a lot of older technology, right? And that's worked out. If you have a broad enough base, you can hang on to and have those conversations. But we scrapped that whole thing, set up a subreddit and said, well let's go to where the people are and then, you know, be able to have those conversations.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, it's worked out. We're up at almost 3,100 on our subreddit.
Oh, nice.
So
yeah, I'm a big Reddit user myself. For those who have seen me, I'm usually posting or trying to help out folks in the FreeNAS channels.
Yeah, the FreeNAS channel, I think they've got nearly 30,000 subs on that.
It's pretty active. Yeah. It's pretty darn active. So, and I try to keep an eye on it. So apologies if I don't get to you personally, but I try and lurk and at least get as much answers as I can.
We'll be giving out Chris's home phone number at the end of the podcast.
Not so much.
But yeah, I mean, we love the community, and I love what you guys are doing from an open source, from an enablement standpoint, of all these things to drive the technology through. I think the rebrand makes a ton of sense. We talked about, sort of the potential negative connotation of the word free. So going to TrueNAS core makes a ton of sense and driving that through and just helping IT practitioners get smarter and able to engage on this. And I think it's fun. You know, I don't have the time for it, but I can see how it would be fun to have access to nightlies and pull that down.
Yeah.
So when you get to beta June 30th, there or about, you'll keep doing nightlies after that, or will
stop? So there's still a nightly train that runs after that, and that will eventually become RC1 when the next release goes out the door, or beta 2. That's still up in the air if we're going to end up doing a beta 2 or not. It just depends on the feedback, honestly, from beta 1. So,
well, if you have to do beta 2, then you've failed.
Not that we failed, but you know, stuff. It's a complicated system. You know, if there's a big enough problem, we're going to put a beta 2 out.
I'm gonna be watching for that.
Yeah. If I see a beta 2. Yeah,
keep me honest. I'll call you.
We're hoping we don't have to do a beta 2, but we just build it into the schedule because historically we have done a few of them. So
when will you? Okay, so then we get all the way to October and 12 goes out, and then immediately you're on to 12.1.
Yeah, so then the nightlies would basically become the 12.1 train at that point, or what's going to become the 12.1 train, you know, 12 to 16 months after that.
Okay. So you've got a pretty long cadence then on
between
your
major
releases.
We're still releasing updates. So 12.0 come out, and usually within the first couple months, you get a 12.0 U1,
right.
U2, the usual updates, and those will be a handful of bug fixes. Occasionally, we slip a little feature improvement in there, just depending on how much.
If it was close, maybe they didn't quite make
it. If it was close, or if it's safe to put in, you know, and it is a huge improvement to usability, then yeah, we slip a few of those in. We try to mainly focus on bug fixes, though, for those U releases.
Yeah, well, that's pretty typical.
Yeah, you want it to mature and stabilize at that point. So,
all right, so now there's another product.
Yeah.
Okay, so we talked TrueNAS Core, TrueNAS Enterprise, True Command even slipped its way.
Yep.
This dirty little pause into this conversation.
I snuck it in when you weren't looking.
TrueNAS Scale, you talked about. So there have been hints about it in the community because you've had something out there on GitHub for a little while. And if you kind of knew where to poke around, you could find it. And then you put out, was the first thing your actual forums post a couple days ago?
Yeah, that was the first official statement. I had put something out right around the beginning of the year just as a little tease, I'll call it a tease, because it's hard. We're an open source company, open source project, so things slip into the Git repos, and sometimes you can't help that. But some people see it and go, that's weird. Why did they add a Debian schema file? That doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Why did that end up in the repo?
And then they go on Reddit, and they have a conversation
then 100 people reply to it, and next thing you know, people are asking questions. So
then you have to make an answer.
Yeah, so we basically teased it a little bit that we're working on something new in the labs back
at the beginning. TrueNAS Scale.
TrueNAS Scale is what we officially announced this week.
All right, so a lot of people were excited about it. Some people I was teasing you before, were aggravated by it. What's the fundamental action that's taking place?
So we're basically building our next generation storage device, and TrueNAS Scale is going to offer some new capabilities that we haven't historically had on TrueNAS Core Enterprise Scale Out. You know, hence the word scale for name.
That was good. Good job,
pretty,
Morgan.
Pretty clever, huh? But anyway, that's the big draw for it. But it's going to be based on Debian as opposed to BSD. And another reason is bringing Linux containers, native Linux containers to the table. KVM as a hypervisor. Just a whole different tool chain that we can import. We have a lot of users who've been asking for that for years. It's probably one of the most requested features, actually, in FreeNAS and now TrueNAS Core has been native Docker support.
Yeah, the container support is big. Now, KVM is the intimation then that this could be a hyper-converged infrastructure, a true hyper-converged infrastructure.
We have hints of that in the existing TrueNAS Core. We have VMs now. It's using Beehive on FreeBSD, and that's working. KVM's got a lot of different features and abilities that we want to be able to tap into and use to expand our repertoire, if you will. But, you know, there's a lot more things to come on that, so we'll be announcing more. We'll be rolling out nightlies of this here in the next 3 to 4 weeks, we're expecting.
Okay.
So, you know, obviously the word is out now. People can go look at the repos. They can contribute. They can get involved and see where we're going, and we'll be posting more details on that here in the coming months.
Yeah, I mean, a hyper-converged offering is neat. I mean, given the vein of what you guys have done historically.
Sure.
Let's see, Scale Computing runs on KVM. They've got a nice HCI solution. Nutanix obviously started out that way. So there's some, actually, Red Hat, I think, is using that too. Yeah. Anyway, there's plenty of pedigree on KVM for doing things
those kind of things.
What do you think you'll see a lot of multi-node, or is there a demand? You're seeing demand for a lot of multi-node
We have the requests, and we've seen the need for it. Obviously, we're a scale-up file system right now, and ZFS scales way up. You can get pretty darn large. But at some point, we have folks who want to be able to scale out and add more nodes and, you know, build the cluster out, so to speak. So we've seen folks doing that homebrew who are like, wow, it'd be great if TrueNAS could do that natively.
Right.
And so that's what we're bringing to the table.
So that changes the game, though, from an IX perspective a little bit on hardware, right? Because you're not exactly a hardware company, but obviously you have appliances and you support those and all that sort of thing. The SKU count probably has to change.
Well, we're going to be allowing Scale to run on our existing product family, so it'll be something you will be able to upgrade to, should you wish.
Is that only on the multi-controller units?
No, it can run on the single controllers as well, potentially.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. And so what's the calendar that you've committed to on that one?
We're just saying early 2021 for kind of a release date. It's going to have to go through the same cycle that 12 is. We're going to do nightlies for a while. There's still a lot of features to port over and get working on Linux. So we got our work cut out for us. I mean, we're nowhere near the finish line yet.
But enough, there was enough information out there where you wanted to get ahead of it. Well, catch up or get ahead a little
people
bit.
People were figuring it out on their own. I saw some the stuff posted in the forums and on Reddit where people found some of the build repos. And, oh, hey, that's weird. How come there's a Docker file in here? And, you know, what is this?
I think some people might have been worried that, well, does this mean that the existing builds are dead?
No,
and that's
not at
certainly
all.
Not the case.
Not at all. TrueNAS Core, TrueNAS Enterprise, those, you know, have a good future ahead of them. We have a lot of folks who love those products and maybe don't know or don't need scale out, don't necessarily need Docker or KVM, but they just want rock solid storage. Yeah. So that product's gonna keep on continue going. So 12.1, et cetera.
Good.
Yeah.
That was easy.
Yeah, we're trying to make keep both of our communities happy in that sense, you know, bring some new things to the table, but also keep our existing rock solid products continuing to grow and evolve as time goes on.
Yeah, I mean, that's the upside downside with such an active and vibrant community is that they're extremely supportive and loyal, but also want to be informed. And that's cool. I mean, and that's one of the things that even we try to find the balance of with, you know, all the outreach, even on Reddit or social media or all of it. Like, we want to support everyone that asks any question of, like, what should I buy? Or, you know, what I've got a problem with this. And but it can also be trying at times to be as responsive as you want to be.
It is tough. You know, in some sense, you might be providing too much free tech support, you know, helping people diagnose their crummy hardware. But we love our community. We want to help out in every way we can. So that's why I spend a lot of my off hours on Reddit. On my phone, usually, just answering questions where I can.
Well, it's so easy now. You can be walking around and jam out a response.
Yeah, especially if I see something, I'm like, oh, I know how to fix that. Here you go. I hope that helps you out.
So from a IX perspective, how does the company view itself in relationship to these software packages, in relationship to the hardware that you release, the support that you offer for enterprise customers? What is IX in a sentence or in a notion?
Well, I think our motto is powered by open source. We're driven by open source. That really is in our blood and our veins. That's part of our ethos as a company. So we're really big into trying to be responsible open source citizens with not only the products that we build, you know, FreeNAS and now TrueNAS, but even the components that make up that. There's a lot of open source bits that go into TrueNAS, go into FreeNAS. And so we try to contribute back where we can. You know, we're not taking stuff and closed sourcing it. We're trying to make all the products better that we have to touch as part of that. And then, of course, we're building our own appliances. We're right. able to put our special IX touch on it, provide some neat value that you can take a really rock solid software-defined storage product and then pair it with some awesome hardware and end up with something that you're proud to put in your rack at work and go recommend to your boss.
Yeah. And then, well, that, at that scale, and then even the minis, if you want to get something small for Absolutely. A little office or to mess around with in your home
lab. A mini on your desk is great. You know, you get all this enterprise functionality in a little tiny box that's quiet. I mean, that's pretty fantastic.
Not too bad. All right, so we covered off on core, TrueNAS Core 12, enterprise, scale, did we get it all?
I think we got it all.
And all the key updates.
It's been a busy week, but I think that hit about everything.
All right,
now.
so we've plowed through that, and now we're going to abandon this podcast, switch into live TV mode, and show this stuff off. So
yeah, this is gonna be fun.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm so I guess thankful seems like a weird word, but I am thankful that you journeyed up from Knoxville and came up here. It's so fun to re-engage in a professional way.
I was surprised you guys were this close, to be honest. I didn't know you
What was the drive up here?
Four and a half hours.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because I pulled into the parking lot. I was running a little late today with kids stuff, and I was thinking, gosh, I wonder if Chris is here. Yeah, Stormtrooper sticker on the back of the car.
He made it. No, that's my car.
I can always spot that guy. Rick comes down from Veeam, he's up in Columbus, he's got a Rickatron sticker on the back of his car.
Nice.
The nerds always have, and I mean,
we have our little clues. I got my little Unix bumper sticker: colon W saves, which is a VI reference.
I saw that one too. Well, that was great. Well, thanks for coming in for the podcast. This
is
fun. Thanks for listening and/or watching. We've got the interactive video up on YouTube, the podcast through all the normal channels: iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. And thanks for tuning in.
Thank you.